Hey, let me officially welcome you to Momentum Mastery Monthly. This is our success call here for December 2010, and I'm very excited about what we have lined up here today as we're getting ready to complete 2010. It's a good time for end-of-year completions and really beginning to think about gearing ourselves up for the new year. And as we kick off today's call, I first off want to welcome our new listeners. I know that there were quite a few new folks who took advantage of a program offering and are a part of a 90-day Momentum Mastery program. So I want to welcome all of you. For those of you that have been with Momentum Mastery for a while, this is actually a fantastic call for all of you because we're going to be doing a little bit of a review in addition to our end-of-year completion. So a lot of foundational pieces that we have covered throughout the year, there's an opportunity to kind of check in and really see how we're leveraging each one of these components and how we can bring them even more alive in our life. I do want to just point to a couple things. I don't very often talk too much about the fabulous Ning Forum, where we have an opportunity. There's so many resources available there, but there's a couple things I want to just point people to. One, if you go into the Ning Forum, and there's actually a button called Forum, there you'll see different, there's an opportunity where you can start different conversations and so forth. And there's always three kind of key things that are featured there in the section under Forum. So you'll see one is always the most recent class or call, so there's always notes after each one of these classes. So I definitely recommend hopping into the forum, and you can print those off, maybe add those into a workbook as you're going along. We also have another featured item is going to be where all the recordings are found. So if you're just now joining Momentum Mastery Monthly, you'll be able to go in and download the MP3 or listen online to any of the previous calls. And there's another featured item, which includes all of the exercises and handouts. And this week there is a handout, which is the end of year completion, new year creation. So you can find that all under the forum tab in the Ning forum, which is momentumnow.ning.com. And then just also as a note, those of you that were part of, well, any kind of a special package have had access to the MP3s through Momentum Mastery Monthly. Those are $27.88 a month. And if you want to upgrade to the CD version at any time and actually get two CDs shipped to your home every single month, it's only $37.88, so really ridiculously affordable and available to you if you really like having kind of the tangible CDs that, you know, you can pop into your CD players for that listening. So before we get into the end of year completion, I want to kind of do a little mini review. And we talked about seven keys for success and inner peace going into the new year. And a lot of these keys really relate to our review here. So I'm going to pop out some of those. And for those of you that are here on the live call line, would love, you know, we can maybe do some little check-ins on some of these, see how these are going for you. And then as we get into the end of year completion questions, I'd love to really have each of you, you know, share some of these out loud to really just kind of add to the inspiration and kind of get the juices flowing for everyone. So that's our lineup for tonight. So one of the keys for working the Momentum Mastery program is really about selecting three goals that you're going to focus in on over the course of a year. And maybe you haven't set those three goals. Maybe you've set those. It's been a little while. Maybe those three goals are top and center. But one thing that we know is that if we set a goal that's got any kind of fuzziness to it at all, that it makes it more challenging to know when we've actually accomplished that. So if we have a goal that's about, let's say, for example, increasing, you know, having greater everyday inner peace, right? Having greater everyday inner peace. Or maybe it's about deepening connection with a partner. Or it could be around organization or feeling more confident, right? So each of those are awesome goals. And it's a little different than something that's very specific, like losing 15 pounds or saving $15,000 or having your book published, right? So we want to first off just look at, is one of your goals in the fuzzy factor? Is it in the fuzzy factor? So if you've got a goal like inner peace or deepening connection with a partner or, you know, feeling more confident, come back to and really look at, clarifying the goal as much as possible. So you might write a paragraph about that. You might bring in some of the emotional qualities, activities, actions, the elements that would be present if you reached this goal. So if it's about deepening connection with a partner, what might be the type of conversations that you would have, the level of intimacy, maybe what kind of touch would be going on, feeling understood, feeling like you really understand and really get your partner, right? Really just taking the goal, clarifying as much as possible, and bringing in kind of making it more robust. Another way you can check in on a potentially fuzzy goal is to ask yourself, what percentage of my day is actually spent in blank? What percentage of my day is spent in inner peace or spent feeling happy, spent feeling in love, right? That can be another way to more quantify something that is a little bit fuzzier. And then you might also track, kind of as a third tip, you might track the times that you're clearly not being your goal. So, if you're reacting, if breathing is tight, just really check in. When am I not in that goal? So maybe you're doing it because it's an intention for you and there's focus on it. Maybe you're actually, doing a great job, but where the opportunity can be is in those times when you're not in that goal. So that's one of the first of seven keys to greater success and inner peace as you're closing out the year, is really begin to look at those goals, really make sure that you're clear about what those top three goals are for you, and bring some added clarity, transforming some of the fuzziness factor. Well, and also just to reference as it relates to goals, we can go back earlier in the year, we talked about creating a year-long vision. So that could be a good CD or MP3 to go back if you really want to set yourself up for a new year. It's a good time to be looking at, we'll talk next week about setting yourself up for the new year creation. And one of those keys can be creating yourself a 12-month vision. So highly recommend that call. And you'll find that there in the forum under recordings. So look for that, creating your year-long vision. Second key is to check in. We've also had a call about taking inspired action. Taking inspired action. So we can take each one of your top goals and really check in. What are the top two inspired actions that you're intending on taking towards each of your top three goals? So this is a great time right now to, make a couple notes. Take your top three goals. What are the top two inspired actions that you can take to move yourself towards those? And for it to be, of course, an inspired action, I was really listening to that sense of intuition, that guiding force behind you, to get the nudge of what's next. Another way to get inspired actions is, of course, to brainstorm, a whole bunch of actions and then kind of allow yourself to be magnetized towards one or two of them. So inspired actions. And as we look at inspired actions, we might take a check at your commitment levels. Are you really committed to taking those actions. Now, what would it take for your commitment level to be a 10? If it's not already, sometimes, I don't know if, it could just be me, but sometimes I have things on my to-do list and they sort of get carried over to the next day, the next day, the next day. And if I go back and look, it's like, oh, I had this written, you know, a month ago and it's not happening. Well, if we want it to be a 10, you know, it's like, what would have to happen to shift that commitment level to be a 10? Do I need to shift a belief about realizing the goal? Do I need to develop a new skill? Do I need to reach out to a different resource? So really looking at our commitment level as it relates to those inspired actions. So another key piece to review. We've got a whole call that we did around inspired actions. Next key, number three, is appreciations. Appreciations. We had a whole call related to daily rituals. We'll also talk about daily rituals. But appreciations being kind of one of the key things to really keep us in a high vibrational state. So you might write down, you know, what are five things that you can appreciate right here and right now? Five things to appreciate right here, right now. This is one of the practices that Oprah Winfrey started years ago, and it's a phenomenal way to keep yourself in that high energy vibration. So really, really phenomenal. Number four is your visions. So we talked a little bit about that, you know, I just was referencing the year-long vision. Now, when was the last time you read your vision? And as you read that vision, assuming that you've put one together, you know, check in. You know, is there anything you need to make an adjustment to have it be even more in alignment with where you're going and what's important for you? With speaking with one of the participants in my Ultimate Impact program, who's also a private client, and, you know, talking about her vision, and she said, yeah, I just was rereading my vision, and, you know, as I was getting into it, you know, I kind of was feeling maybe not resonating so much with the first part of it, but then more and more, like the rest of, you know, as it went on, it was really, really resonating. So she's like, yeah, I really need to go back and adjust the first part of that vision so that it's immediately juicy and aligned. Because, you know, that can be another thing. If we're really not clear about where we're headed, then, you know, very often we can stay in those holding patterns. So visions, again, highly recommend going back and listening to the, you know, creating your year-long vision CD. And as we're getting ready to gear up for the new year, there's just, you know, this is just the best time to either rewrite it or, you know, write, maybe it's even your first one. So visions, that's the fourth key. Fifth key really is daily rituals. So we've had a whole call on daily rituals. So in addition, I kind of hold appreciations as separate because it's such a key one to just continue to do consistently. But let's just check in with your daily rituals. And first off, think, you know, what's really the key, you know, well, to think that one of the key purposes of daily rituals is to elevate your energy and to really keep yourself connected and grounded into that place of inner peace, right? And it's not about having shoulds on your list, none of the things you should do. You should really feel inspired about what is on your list. And really looking, you know, are you enjoying them? You know, are you really working with your daily rituals and really embracing them? Is there anything that needs to be eliminated from your list? And if there's one daily ritual that you'd want to up the ante on, you know, what would that be? It's one daily ritual that you'd like to up the ante on. You know, is it meditation? You know, could it be around exercise? I was just saying to another colleague that for, you know, the men's path to enlightenment is through meditation, but a woman's path to enlightenment is through feeling her feelings. So maybe, you know, is there a structure you could create around really giving yourself full permission to just dive into your feelings and emotions? Maybe that becomes a practice for you, a daily ritual. Maybe it's around, you know, drinking a certain amount of water each day, or, you know, lighting a candle, having fresh flowers in your room, your office. So just to check in here, you know, how can you keep daily rituals alive and do them consistently? You know, really getting them incorporated into your lifestyle. You know, I'm not sure we have it as a resource, but I'll add it, which is having a little spreadsheet. It's one of the great structures for staying on track with daily rituals. Giving yourself check marks or stars, you know, as you really, really allow the compounding effect of choice to give yourself the benefits of each of the daily rituals. But really important just to keep those in front of you. And again, invite you to head back to the forum and dive into the recording of daily rituals, you know, or listen to that on CD, of course. And then number six, the sixth key to success and inner peace as we close out the year, is embracing those now practices. Embracing those now practices. Again, there's a whole call that we've done on now practices. And for those of you that have, you know, are here participating, you know, are your now practices alive? You know, what are those top two now practices? You know, is it showering? Is it eating? Is it, I think I'm remembering Gail had one around sweeping the front porch. Could be making the bed. My father's was emptying the dishwasher. You know, now practice really, you know, really here as a structure to help you consciously develop that muscle of being more present. Absolutely works miracles. And then seventh key is a little reminder around emotional muscles. I like to think of an emotional muscle as, it's like the feelings that help you align with your ideal vision or goal. Right? So to really look at, to think of your vision or goal as though it's already been achieved, and really check in, you know, what are the feelings that you would be feeling? You know, a sense of, you know, any, if it's in a relationship, you know, maybe it's about really feeling adored and cherished. If you're just recently published a book and are really getting out there and making your mark in the world, maybe the emotional muscle is around being seen, or, you know, having a sense of acknowledgement. Maybe you simply need the emotional muscle of willingness if it's about embracing a new exercise program. You know, just the willingness to kind of keep, you know, to keep stepping into those little actions that are going to give you the compounded effect that you're wanting. So we've did a whole call on emotional muscles. You know, there's another one to go back and review on emotional muscles, or again, listen to on CD. I'm going to just open up the lines. I popped it into lecture mode. So there's a little bit of background noise. If you have any noise in your background, you can press *6 to mute your line. But I'd love just to see, you know, any questions or comments or inspirations that come from just, you know, going through kind of a little bit of a mini review of some of the things that we've covered here in Momentum Mastery Monthly.
Mary, this is Gail.
Yeah, Gail.
First off, wow.
Little mini review, huh?
There's just so much that you've shared with us, and I was present to, you know, those entire conversations and what I got out of all of them. So just, it feels really great to have a review of it. But two things really jumped out at me that I'd love to share. One is, a woman tapped enlightenment is fully feeling her feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you said that before and I've heard you say that, but it really landed this time like, oh, I'm taking that on.
Mm.
I don't know, as a daily ritual. to actually be present to looking for the feelings that are flowing and be willing to feel them fully.
Oh, love that. Oh,
and I want accountability around that.
Yeah, good. Okay.
And then the other thing was inside of the last piece, practicing vibration of being seen and acknowledgement.
Mm.
You know, I've been more or less effective at practicing the things that I said I would, but that one I never put in the list. What were those again? The emotional muscles.
The emotional muscles, yeah.
I'm going to add in being seen and acknowledgement.
And acknowledgement. Really good. And so for acknowledgement, describe acknowledgement, like what it's like to like really have that alive in your nervous system.
Well, I actually had an experience this evening. We had somebody come for a Craigslist ad and came and bought some stuff from us. And when I emailed her, my email list said the book is for sale. And she showed up at the house and she said, I'm so glad that you told me about your book. It's exactly what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a spiritual book. I'm going to go home and buy it. And I had both the experience, I had the experience of being seen, but also being acknowledged for having put it out there.
Yeah.
You know, there was an experience like, oh, I share about it, and then people see it, and then they're glad. You know,
yeah.
It makes a difference for them. So it's like the experience is people either, you know, just seeing that they're being purchased. You know, I love that. That's an acknowledgement in and of itself, watching the numbers go up, you know.
Yep.
But to have to also have people say, you know, thank you for telling me about that.
Yes.
Or even just to acknowledge that they know that it's available. So in just there are probably many, many, many ways that I can practice and begin to look for and listen for as acknowledgement that we have a contribution to make and that it's out there.
Yep. Yep, exactly. And what I'm hearing in this, too, is as you're receiving the acknowledgement, it's like acknowledging the value that you brought to that person.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Right? It's like really anchoring in the value.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if I'm not emotionally connected, let's say if somebody buys a book or, you know, a program or something, it's like, oh, okay, great. Like there's a way where I can just be, yeah, no, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's nice, yes, but I'm not really feeling anything, but different when I really can, you know, absorb,
yeah.
Wow, there is value in that. Because, of course, anything that we really feel as an emotional muscle and we work, we're going to attract more experiences that help, that serve and support that experience.
Yeah, thanks. And when you said that, the whole realm of what ways and tabs in my life that I could practice that and expand on being willing to receive that, you know, and clients, you know, all the places where I make a difference or a contribution, where I provide value, clients, my partner, my friends, anybody,
mm-hmm.
You have to really practice and look for that. And I love the way you shared that. It's like it's not just an acknowledgement of me, but it's a acknowledgement of the mutual co-creative event that served everybody.
Exactly.
And
I would just love to acknowledge you right here now for bringing that into the space so that could be a gift here to everyone listening here tonight and through the CD and the MP3 in the future.
That's so great. Everybody try it. It happens instantly.
Uh-huh. Look at that. Love it. Thank you for that. So who else would like to chime in about, you know, something that popped for you as we were going through these kind of seven keys around success and inner peace, this little mini review of momentum mastery? What popped for you?
This is Michael.
Yeah, Michael.
I have to share a little story with you. And, you know, as you were reading off your review, I was reminded of just two nights ago, one of my sons, he's generally a very happy kid. I mean, he's always smiling. He's always in a good mood. He's great. And that night, he just had a breakdown, you know, and he's a very emotional boy.
Mm.
And he doesn't necessarily understand his emotions yet. much less how to express them. And it just became overwhelming for him. And the first thing that came to my mind was the tips that you gave us on the last call of how to bring back in inner peace. You gave us 7 tips, and I just started going through them with him and talking about each one. You know, for example, being present, authentic expression, recognize reality for what it is and not worse, loving yourself fully. And as we were going through these, well, I mean, there's more, but as we were going through these, he started to feel better, and he started to understand how to get back to that place where he loves to be.
Oh, wow. Love that.
And I want to thank you very much for that.
Oh,
you
thank
know,
you.
I mean, these are all things that I've done in the past, but I've never actually had them as a list like this to share with people. And it really works. What can I say?
That's right. Well, they do, and I really thank you for putting them into practice, because as I notice with just more and more looking collectively at all of my clients and, you know, whatever they're, you know, coming to the calls with, and usually we're working on things that aren't working 100% right, or, you know, addressing some aspect that sort of, you know, put a hamper on our sense of inner peace. You know, it's not all the same flavors, and yet there's a variety of tools that, you know, depending on what kind of flavor of non-inner peace you've got going on, you know, there's things we can do for each one. And the good news is usually there's 2 or 3 we can do for each one if we can just be willing to pull out a tool and be willing to go back to a place of inner peace. So great to see they also work on children too.
Oh, they do indeed.
Ah, well, fantastic.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for sharing there. Good. Anyone else want to add something about just, you know, what they're taking from the review, something that popped for you, something that you want to kind of up the ante on commitment, as Gail kind of pointed to?
Sure. This is Mark. Hi.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Great. Funny, one thing that popped was fresh flowers. And it just completed this picture for me, because I've wanted my study where I work to be an inspiring place, and it's like the missing link. So I like, ooh, you know, that felt just right. It's like, oh, thank you for that. Mm. And I also really like the idea of upping the ante on one of these daily rituals. So this is, I don't know, it's sort of daily, weekly. It's the way I set my goals, kind of on a right at the nitty-gritty scale, like in the calendar and so on. And there's a way I'm doing that, but I'd like to up the ante a little bit. And so that's a really nice boost.
So what's one way you can up the ante on your goals?
You know, instead of setting my to-dos on a daily basis, which tends to be a bit reactive, going to weekly, and, you know, maybe adjusting as I need to, but really on the Friday, this will be Friday morning, really identifying what I want to accomplish the following week and calendaring the main chunks of it.
Beautiful. Love that. And I find that very effective. That's actually how I do it, is really look at, usually like once a month I do kind of the big brainstorm of kind of what are all the big current projects, kind of what's the big picture, usually way more than I can, you know, possibly accomplish in that month, but kind of, okay, here's the big focus. But then weekly it's like, okay, you know, what pieces do I really want to focus on from a weekly basis, really pulling from that list, and I think that really ends up helping a lot.
So your monthly list is allowed to be somewhat overflowing?
Yeah, my monthly list is a little bit more big picture of what's going on. And then from that, there's sort of within that, you know, what are really the big priorities? Sometimes I'll even map it out. If I mean, you know, as we were gearing up for the Inner Peace Immersion Retreat, to really look at, okay, what things needed to happen on, you know, over the course of the month, you know, what number of calls, what emails need to go out, what other pieces need to be in place. So sometimes it is actually very specific for that month, but sometimes it's a little bit bigger and kind of more general. Okay, these are the things I'd like to do. And part of that is I'm a possibilities girl, and I love having lots of options so that I can mm-hmm. allow my own inspiration to kind of pick and choose what I'm called to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that really works for me. But on the weekly, I really, you know, not that I always gauge perfectly, but I really like to, whatever my weekly list is, gosh, by the end of the week, I really like to try and nail it by the end of the week. Doesn't always happen, but boy, I do try.
Great. Thank you. That's a nice link. I've been mulling that relationship, so that's helpful.
Yeah, good. Excellent. All right. Anyone else? Any thoughts or comments from our review before we jump into some end-of-year completion? Okay. Just check our forum, see if anyone that's in the forum, you're also welcome to add your comments there in the forum. So, great. 914.
Hi, Mary. This is Stephanie.
Hey, Stephanie.
I actually came to the call a little late, so I didn't catch all of the review. But just one thing I wanted to touch base for me over the course of the Momentum Mastery sessions, the daily practices really helped me to reconnect to my inner peace and to step into what I'm feeling and really be able to pinpoint places that are causing me either overwhelm or stress and be able to reconnect to my purpose and my focus.
Mm-hmm. So true. And it's, I love that you've really held that commitment to your daily rituals, because you get both the immediate benefit of the day and how that sets up your day for, you know, affecting your inner peace, but then you also get the cumulative effect, which has an even more powerful impact.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And what's one of your favorite practices that you've been working?
Meditation actually has come to the forefront for me.
Nice.
It's really allowed me to clear a lot of, you know, mind chatter that comes up. I've found that I've become more creative out of that. So meditation, definitely.
Oh, so lovely. And definitely a huge contributor to inner peace when we have less of that mind chattery stuff going on.
What I would like to step up for myself, I think, is the emotional muscles, and the one in particular is being seen and being able to put myself out there and really connect with that emotionally and be able to take action in that area.
Good. So being seen, so let's play with this a little bit, as we did with Gail on the acknowledgement one. So if you were to just step into how it feels, to give some more articulation around how it feels to be fully, you know, being seen, how would you describe that emotionally?
I think for me I would feel confident.
Mm-hmm.
I would own it. I would feel, how can I describe it? I feel like I could step into it.
Mm-hmm.
Something that came up, that I had to go to a conference the past 2 days, and at the end of the conference, we had to do a mini teach back. And going into it, I used my meditation to really center myself and clear the nervousness. And midway through it, I felt like I owned the room, and I felt like, you know, I was really connected to the material that I was delivering. And it's the first time I've really felt that way.
Mm.
So in that respect, I said, okay, maybe this is what it's supposed to feel like. There wasn't that, you know, oh, I'm so nervous. Am I stuttering? Am I, you know, I really felt like I owned the material and I knew what I was talking about. And I felt that confidence come up.
Right.
And I think that's how it would feel for me.
Beautiful. I love that articulation, too. So, like, owning the room, that confidence, and then when we tie that into being seen, it's like doing all that in front of, you know, a group of people of some sort, you know, being connected with content. and connected with your material. That's beautiful. Yes. Love that. And boy, oh boy, it's like, you know, with each one of these, you know, the more we work it, just, you know, a little bit, little bit, little bit, little bit, we really allow that compounding effect of choice to accumulate. And this is what affects transformation. So, yay. Love that.
I would love to see more of that for myself for 2011.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. Well, build that in, and you know, a little bit each day of what it is to, you know, really stand in that confident, owning the room, being seen, connected to your material.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful place to be.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that more than one person listening in will be embracing that idea for themselves as well. Nice. Nice.
Mary, could I ask a follow-up question?
Sure.
So, yeah, I totally connected with that. Thank you. And what would a little bit each day look like?
Right. So, great question. So, it can look like maybe taking, you know, 1 minute, 2 minutes. Like, all we're wanting to do could be, so let's say I'm focusing on that emotional muscle. I might be sitting here in my office, and I would just stop, maybe for a minute, I would maybe close my eyes, and I would just kind of stand in kind of the emotional image of being seen, you know, imagining being in front of an audience. I could pick the size. I might even each day grow that size of the audience each day. I might start with maybe a group of 10 or a group of 20, and maybe that would be one thing in my visualization each day that would expand. But I would literally create some kind of image, and as I create that image, stand in it as though I'm there from that place of confidence, from that, you know, how does it feel to just really own the room, and see if I can find it in my nervous system just a little bit more each day, and what it feels like to be fully seen, you know, for who I am, you know, my particular uniqueness in the world, not trying to be somebody else, you know, just being seen for who you are. So, and I would stay with the image, or the feeling, rather, until you can really connect, you know, just a little bit more maybe than you did the day before. So the whole idea in working an emotional muscle is really on the feeling. So, you know, we can, you know, like here, we're kind of mentally talking about it, but it's another thing. Can you also, you know, step into the feeling of it? So if you've done that, even if it's 30 seconds, Abraham Hicks talks about 20 seconds of pure positive thought. That's great. If you can hold that feeling for, you know, 20 seconds, 25 seconds, 30 seconds, then great. When go about your day as you would normally, and then next day, oh great, just find 30 seconds to, again, connect in, and each time just expanding, maybe it's the size of the audience, maybe it's a deepening of the confidence, maybe it's a deepening of, you know, owning the room, and really connecting all the way to the very person, the very back edge. What it's like maybe to be doing work with somebody in front of the room or answering a question, feeling like, yeah, I can handle anything. And again, focusing on feeling. So does that help?
Yes, awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Very good. All right. Let's dive into end of year completion. And this is a process that was introduced to me literally from my very first coach, probably almost 12 years ago. And I remember doing it back then, and then as I built my practice, I started passing this on to my clients. So if you've ever worked with me, you've probably seen this arise either in a newsletter or your inbox sometime this time of year. And I have really found it be one of the greatest ways to really get complete with your year before wiping the slate clean and starting in a brand new one. And really doing these questions personally. So, you know, we'll talk about them here, and maybe we'll even get, there's a couple key questions that will be fun to kind of get some answers from our live audience here today. But where the real value will come is by, you know, you going in your own home and, you know, getting a cup of tea and sitting by the fire and just really allowing yourself, maybe even I like to pull out my calendar for the year and just to really allow myself to go through and kind of reflect on each of these five questions. So five questions here. So, and this is a two-part exercise. There's the end of year completion, and then next week we'll be talking about the new year creation and kind of playing around with that. And for those of you that plan to be on the live call, what would be great is even to go through and begin to dive into the new year creation questions, and maybe we can do some of the sharing live on next week's call there. But let's go through these five questions for end of year completion, the great way to close out the year, really put a nice period at the end, come December 31st, and be charged and ready to go for the new one. So the first question is, what are your disappointments, failures, and breakdowns? What are your disappointments, failures, and breakdowns? And I'm thinking we won't do this one as a group conversation. I don't want to put people on the spot about what, because this is probably the one where it's like, you know, let's pull out the tissue box of like, okay, you know, I had great aspirations to get a certain project done, didn't happen. You know, things that I would write here, you know, I haven't gotten my book on CD, well, yet. Maybe it'll still happen before the end of the year. But I can go through, well, you know, I would have liked to have maybe even more participants at my Awakening Beyond Achievement event or at my Inner Peace Immersion Retreat. So those are things I could say, and now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, well, I actually don't feel like I'm thinking about real disappointments that really, you know, get you down to the bone. So, well, there's probably some disappointment in that. But allow you to kind of, you know, sit with yourself on that question. And here more than anything is we acknowledge these, because the biggest thing is about acknowledging them, not to make you feel bad about this, but it's an opportunity to either let them go or carry them forward and make a new promise. All right? So let them go, carry them forward, or make a new promise. So what are your disappointments, failures, and breakdowns? Really looking at those and, you know, bringing a tone of compassion and grace as you look at those. And then let's go to number two, of making a second list, and this is success, wins, and accomplishments. So this is really your chance to celebrate and own who you've become this year. Where did you step into your power and greatness? You know, it could be little things. It could be anything that, anything to validate your accomplishments. So you might look through your organizer, any notes from that you've taken in your journal throughout the year. No modesty is allowed. You know, don't skimp. It's like really, you know, what were the successes, wins, and accomplishments? And I'd love to take a little tally from our listening audience here. You know, what are some of your successes, wins, and accomplishments? Let's hear a few kind of just. Who'd be willing to share?
Hi, Mary.
Yeah, Michael.
All right. One of my accomplishments is actually a goal that I set in one of the first calls in the group. And it was to adjust my sleeping hours.
Yeah.
Because I had been going to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning for the last 2 years or a year or something like that. And I'm now almost 3 weeks that I've been on a normal schedule.
Excellent. Nice.
So I'm very happy about that.
Excellent. Fantastic. Any others for you, Michael?
I've started my own special interest group.
Oh, nice. Okay.
For coaches who want to create retreats specifically for men.
Oh, cool.
And that's been going on now since about 2 months.
Great. Beautiful.
And that was a spur of the moment decision, actually. I was on a call and somebody, and I was asking about retreats specifically for men, and somebody said, well, Michael, if you're so interested, why don't you do something about it? And 2 hours later, I sent out an email to the Yahoo group that this call was associated with, and I had 10 people sign up.
Nice. So, nice. Wow, way to go. So that's a good one.
It's not something that I normally do, something that's spontaneous, you know. I had no idea how I was going to do it, and I just went out and did it.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And who else would like to share a success, a win, an accomplishment?
Well, this is Gail. I can't pass up the opportunity.
Yeah.
So I published a book.
Yeah.
I got engaged.
Yeah.
It's been a banner year.
If
this call was next week, I'd be able to say I got married.
Right. That all happened within a few weeks. I'm so excited about you getting married on Saturday, and I'm so excited that I get to be there with you.
I know. I'm thrilled. Thank you.
Yay. Oh, that's fantastic. And your book is Remembrance?
Remembrance, The Keys to Creating and Experiencing Heaven on Earth, available on Amazon.com.
Beautiful. Well, good. Now people can go check it out. And I know you've also got a great fan page on Facebook called Messages.
Called The Beloved Page.
The Beloved Page.
Messages from the Beloved, but the address is The Beloved Page. So.
The Beloved Page. Great. Good. People can check that out.
Yeah, it's really been an incredible year. Thank you for all that you've contributed to it and being in conversation with me.
My pleasure. Well, and I would certainly put, as far as success, wins, and accomplishments, my 5-City Awakening Beyond Achievement Tour, most gracious support of you, Gail, as well as the Inner Peace Immersion Retreat. So those are definitely two biggies on my list. As well as, come to think of it, Momentum Mastery got launched in 2010. As
and did Ultimate Impact, too.
And Ultimate Impact. So, yeah, this has been a pretty good year. Love that. Okay, well, so we kind of get the idea there. I'm going to throw out this next question. So what have you learned about yourself and your life? What have you learned about yourself and your life? What insights have you gained? And true insights, if you think about it, have the transformational capability of shifting us into a new, more alive place. Now, so often we do learn things, and when we don't really name and claim them, sometimes their impact isn't quite as pervasive as it can be when we really say, you know, I really got this. So, you know, to really claim those learnings about yourself, your life, nurture those so that as you deepen those learnings, they can really have kind of a even more long-lasting impact. So who'd like to share something that you've learned about yourself and your life, maybe some insights that you've gained that will really make a difference moving forward in 2011?
This is Michael.
Yeah, Michael.
All right. It's not so much something that I learned about myself. It's more something that I had forgotten about myself that I was reminded of this year.
Okay. I think that qualifies for this category.
And it is to not be afraid to ask for what you really want.
So you learned that you can ask for what you want.
No, I've learned that if you ask for what you want, you got a better chance of getting it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I've noticed that in my life, the more I ask for what I want, the greater the chances are of that I'll get it.
Great. Beautiful. Love that. True enough.
An example of that is I've been having trouble with my eldest daughter relating with her, and at one point she had a conversation with me where she said she wanted to have a more mature relationship with me.
Wow.
And I thought, okay, let's have a more mature relationship. And we talked about it, and I made her realize that more mature relationship means that we're going to have a mature relationship both ways. And at first, she was a little hesitant, but then she realized, you know, that makes a lot of sense. And my relationship with her in the last few months has transformed completely to one of respect. And I mean, about 3 weeks ago, she actually spent a whole evening with me out of her own free will. I didn't ask her or anything. And I thought, wow, this is what I've been after for, you know, a couple of years.
Wow.
Teenage daughters aren't the easiest thing, you know.
Right. This is very true.
And it was all because I just told her what kind of relationship I wanted to have with her.
Oh, wow. That is powerful.
And I asked for that relationship, and I got it.
Yep. So I see you really got the correlation that if you ask for what you want, you increase the chances of getting it. And I also see how fully capable you are of asking for what you want.
Absolutely. And it's something that I had learned in the past. But it was only within the last few months that I realized that I hadn't been doing that in, I don't know, 6 months, a year, 2 years.
Right. Well, congratulations and welcome back to this insight. Good one. Really good one. Who else would have one around what's something you've learned about yourself or your life, an insight that you've gained in the last year? And Stephanie, I'll unmute you just in case you have one of those.
Hey, Mary, Stephanie.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi. For me, I've learned to honor myself.
Oh.
When I think about a lot of the, if I can even call them choices that I've made in my life or things that have shown up in my life, I've come to realize that when I've honored myself and my values, A, I get what I want, but also the outcome is desirable. But when I'm making choices that I think are, you know, work out better for others or work out better for work or things like that, and I'm not honoring where I am and what it is that I want, that's when a lot of inner peace is disrupted and there's the turmoil that comes from that. So as I've practiced really honoring and stepping into my values, I've learned a lot about myself and my outcomes are much better.
Right. Oh, such a powerful one. I truly believe that when we honor our own sense of integrity and when we're really doing that honoring place, that it really is, it ends up serving everyone. And sometimes I forget that and, you know, when I have to, you know, readjust a commitment and so forth, but then I always go back and trust that, you know, if it's really in alignment with me, it's going to actually probably serve others too. Nice one. Oh, really good one. So then let's go to question number 4 is, what are you grateful for? This is where you might list some of the things that you've named in terms of insights or successes and wins, anything that you truly appreciate about yourself or any area of your life. The basic principle to get is that whatever you appreciate and give thanks for will increase in your life. And here's where I go and just kind of ridiculous, you know, what I feel grateful for throughout the year. I mean, I really have my calendar right there with me and, you know, really thinking about magic moments that I had with people and, you know, what the significant events were. I think I've done some pages where it's, you know, 4 pages long, being grateful for all the little nooks and crannies in my life, you know, whether that's snuggling on the couch with my significant other, you know, DVR that, you know, allows me to capture the shows that I love most or books that I've read or, you know, the weather to watching the hummingbirds outside. Literally, you know, everything that I can name that's really present, I love to do just a huge gratitude outpouring. And for the sake of time, we'll just bump to the next question. And then the 5th question is, So how will you celebrate and honor your year 2010 accomplishments? You know, what would be fun? What would be a fun, special thing to do for yourself? And, you know, this one, sometimes you may think, well, you know, great, I've done this exercise. There's nothing I really need to do. But, you know, there really is kind of, you know, coming back to that acknowledgement piece, you know, when we really take kind of that extra special something and in an almost maybe in a ritual way, could be in a fun way to just, you know, honor and celebrate the year. You know, so it could be, you know, doing a special evening for yourself. It could be, I don't know, you got a little image of getting like a helium balloon and, you know, maybe writing, you know, 2010 on it and, you know, letting it go, you know, into the universe. Could be, you know, having a dinner party with your favorite people. Could be indulging in a massage or a facial or an extra treat that you wouldn't, maybe you wouldn't normally give yourself. So really think about, you know, how you will celebrate and honor your year 2010 accomplishments. And let me just check in with our listening audience and see if any thoughts or ideas that you've got that you could add to the mix, how you'll celebrate 2010 accomplishments.
A beautiful long walk.
Ah, love it.
Maybe climbing a mountain.
Oh, love that too. Love it. Any other ideas?
This is Michael.
Yeah, Michael.
I'm not sure if this qualifies, but the first thing that came to my mind is taking the time to sit down with my family and just have each of us share what we feel are our accomplishments with the rest of the members of my family.
Yeah, love that. Love that. Really to have everybody go through their own, spend a little bit of time with each of the questions and then come together and really share openly about their list as a way to acknowledge each person and gain learnings. What a fabulous idea.
Exactly, because, you know, sometimes we go through life and we have these accomplishments and we think we've done well, but and it may be that we did something for somebody and we're really proud that we did that, the other person isn't even aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you get this support and mutual appreciation going between the people.
Yep, absolutely. Oh, I love that. Love that. And really even to, I mean, how precious would it be to explore the questions of, you know, what you've learned about yourself and your life, what insights you've gained with, you know, with each of your children or your significant other.
Yeah.
You know, those are really, you know, and of course the, even, you know, another extra benefit is not only are you getting these insights of your family, but as each person shares them out loud, it's one thing to do the exercise where you just, you know, do it for yourself and write down your answers. Very powerful, so valuable. And if you can share with somebody else to really articulate them, then, you know, there's sort of a different level of depth that comes. You know, different sense of intimacy. So definitely, can't wait to hear about that. So report back.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Do you think that that would be coming from the ego?
What would?
Wanting to share your accomplishments with others?
Yeah, we could say, oh, it's coming from the ego, but kind of what struck me is more it's coming from a place of being seen. You know, just, you know, it's more of an act of self-expression, being who you are, you know, just a sharing of who you are. And, you know, on the surface, I mean, to celebrate who you are, you know, the ego gets a bad rap. You know, we can make it, oh, you know, it's one of the things that unfortunately I think ends up getting people into the habit of minimizing themselves. It's like, oh, well, I, you know, I don't want to be egotistical. But, you know, it's also equally the ego to minimize your accomplishments and to, you know, want to squash who you are. So I would say in the spirit of being seen and, you know, you know, owning the room and just owning who you are, I say go for it. You know, we can acknowledge all of our accomplishments from a place of humility.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's been something that's been on my mind since, I don't remember which call it was, but one of your calls where you discussed about ego. And I've given quite a bit of thought since that call and considered, you know, are things, are the things that I think coming from the ego, or are they not?
Well, there's almost no way to, you know, separate out 100% the ego. We want to have a good, healthy ego, especially if we're doing anything where, you know, we're a service professional or speaker, putting work out into the world. You know, we need a certain amount of ego. The real question is it really controlling you? Is it completely running the ship, or are you using it to support the highest expression of who you are?
Right.
You know, so it's, you know, we want to, you know, use it as a friend, as an ally. I mean, it is part of who you are. We can't, you know, even if you wanted to completely divorce your ego, it's physically impossible, best I know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, you know, is it running you? Just the fact that you're asking these questions and looking tells me that you probably have a healthy balance with it right now.
Thank you.
Yeah. So thanks for putting that out there. Great, great question. Excellent. Hopefully we've got a commitment from everyone here listening tonight or listening to this via CD or MP3 to really take yourself through these five questions as a way to close out the year and get yourself geared up for 2011. Before we close out, just if there's any final comments, thoughts, any takeaways from today, what are the takeaways from today's call?
Hi, Mary, Stephanie.
Hey, Stephanie.
For me, the takeaway is to celebrate myself.
Oh. Yay. Absolutely. You so deserve celebrating.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Other takeaways.
This is Michael.
Yeah, Michael.
I know you just went over it quickly, but when you were talking about what are you grateful for,
mm-hmm.
I could really associate with what you were saying about making that long list there.
Yeah.
You know, I was watching a video recently, and it said, be grateful for running water, and something that just never occurred to me.
Oh, yeah.
Be grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And it really got me thinking about all the different things that one can be grateful for, that we just take for granted.
Yeah, that's such a big one. Hot running water is one of the key transforming gifts of the Western world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how we would. I think I'm grateful every single time I'm in one of those beautiful hot showers. One of my favorites. Oh, good. Thank you for presencing that. And Mark, how about for you, the takeaway of today's call?
Well, one is the importance of raising the vibration, of just having that feeling be present. And the other is the compounding effect of these daily practices. Mm. And that's all just kind of coming home. I'm really inspired to make some changes from this call.
Excellent. Excellent. Love that. Fabulous. Pleasure having you on the call. Next and final call for 2010 is next week. We're going to be talking about New Year creation and getting ourselves, you know, refocused on what's coming in 2011. I encourage everyone to go to the momentumnow.ning.com forum. Go under the button forum and download the worksheet, and would love if you've got a head start on some of that between now and next week. We'll also have some other goodies relating to New Year creation for next week's call. So with that, thank you, everyone, for being with us tonight. We will look forward to chatting with y'all on the next call. Bye, everyone.
Thank you, Mary.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Mary.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.